It is December 8th, 2022. Ward Green here, 1552 hours. Another amazing thing happened today. I thought about the congregated throngs. I was thinking about that before I ever looked at the study. I was thinking about David and the congregated throngs for some reason, because I knew that David had said that in one of the earlier Psalms. So when we look up the word throng, for example, it doesn't occur a lot in the New World Translation of the Reference Bible. The word throng occurs four times according to this, four different verses. One of them is Psalm... No, that's not it. That's the word throng. Right. I search for throngs, but we also have read... We used to walk with the throng in Psalm 55 and Psalm 42. I used to pass along with the throng. So it's the same idea of the throng of people. But if I add the throng who are worshiping, the throng who is worshiping Jehovah. But if we have throngs who are worshiping Jehovah, then it occurs among the congregated throngs in Psalm 26. I shall bless Jehovah. In Psalm 68, though, which is today's study, I just noticed when I was doing this search, I searched for this, before I looked at 68 of Psalms, and I found the word again, throngs, and congregated throngs. And this is actually, Psalm 68 is also a Psalm of David. Little children, it's a Psalm of David. So this indicates to me, apart from the idea of the throngs, totally apart from that idea, this indicates to me that the two previous Psalms that we didn't have names written or attached to them, they had no name attached to them as to who the writer was. This indicates possibly David wrote those Psalms, because he's writing number 68 as well. And he wrote some of the ones prior to... Let's keep going back till we get to the... There we are, to the number list. If we look at 67, it doesn't have a writer's name. 66, no writer's name, but 65, I believe, does. Yeah, David. So we see it looks like it's possible David wrote those, the two Psalms in between, the two interspersed juxtaposed, or I'm trying to think of the word for that. Anyway, the idea is the two Psalms that came in, that fell between the other Psalms, 65 and 68 of David, the two in between might also, it seems fairly possible anyway, if not probable, that David was the writer of those two. But in Psalm 68, we're going to encounter the congregated throngs mentioned. But I wanted to say, before I even talk about that, the idea of why I was thinking about it. I was thinking about the congregated throngs because it occurred to me that this whole idea of trying to get people to go to meetings, in-person meetings, is very much a different thing today from what it was in David's time. In David's time, they didn't have the internet. If they wanted to gather together, they had to get together physically in person. Nowadays, we don't have to do that. And I'm not talking about Zoom. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the whole idea of the internet, just the idea of the internet. Every time I go online, somebody could be tracking me, or even if they're not tracking me, I might publish something and people can see that, and I can see what other people are publishing, and it's a throng. The whole internet is a throng. That is a it's a truth, it's a reality, it's a, you know, it's a cause in motion, whatever you want to call it. It's an actual fact that the congregated throngs has been fulfilled in prophecy. In a sense, that was a prophecy of David talking about the congregated throngs. It refers to the internet, the throngs of the internet. Because we know that we're not all the same religion on the internet. We don't all believe exactly the same. So the idea of there being more than one throng makes sense too. Even that part of it makes perfect sense prophetically. It's a prophecy. It doesn't involve the need to go to any meetings, Zoom meetings or any other meetings, particularly when meetings like that have some kind of itinerary which has to be followed, where the internet, on the other hand, is free. We can do what we want. We can publish what we want. We can be responsible, but we can do what we want. On the internet, we're completely free to publish the truth. We're not tied in. To a set of beliefs that are recorded in some handbook of some organization or some set of publications of one organization, and we're not bound to adhere to a certain set of guidelines with regard to what the organization says. Not on the internet, we're not. We are free. So it's more like a throng in that sense as well. It's a throng because we all are completely free. We don't even have to go on the internet. We're free not to even go on there. But we go on there because we want to be part of the throng. We want to be part of the gathering. That is the modern interpretation of what's happening in these Psalms and what David's talking about. It's the modern interpretation. To talk about in-person meetings is to talk about things of the past, not things of the present. The inefficiency of having to maintain a car, having to, you know, risk life and limb to drive to a meeting, having to, you know, God knows what happens, but having to, not that there's anything wrong with in-person meetings, but the time it takes, the money it takes, the effort it takes, all of that, and the inefficiency and the carbon footprint and all that, you know, the cost of it is just enormous. Whereas the internet, on the other hand, is so much more efficient. Not that it's more personal. It's not more personal. But perhaps it can be improved. But it's you know, of course, in person with body contact is far preferable. It's just not ideal. And also from the standpoint of disease transmission too, but I'm not worried about disease transmission because I know about vitamin C and I'm not allergic to ascorbate. I just met a woman today who's allergic, she said, to ascorbic acid. She's allergic to the ascorbate. I'd never met anyone like that before. So she doesn't have the option of taking ascorbate for her infections, apparently. But I was also talking with her and discovered that she's taking calcium and she's not taking vitamin K2. But anyway, but that's a whole other discussion. So I'm not going to get into that in any detail right now, but I would say to everybody out there who is taking calcium and vitamin D, because most people who take calcium are taking vitamin D and they're taking magnesium and so on. Anybody who's taking calcium and vitamin D and magnesium, or even just calcium and vitamin D, if you're taking that, you must, and it's imperative, I really say this with complete conviction, you must be getting enough vitamin K2. That's K2, not K1, vitamin K2. And if you have to take a supplement to do that, which I think most people would have to do, but if you have to take a supplement, it's the least toxic substance known to man, vitamin K2. There's zero known toxicity. Now, the thing is, for somebody who has severe health problems, I don't know what vitamin K2 will cause initially. It might cause some initial strong reaction, of course, because it's so powerful in the way it works with calcium. It's the key to calcium. It is the unlocking of the proper functioning of calcium. Vitamin K2 is called the calcium facilitator vitamin. The calcium facilitator vitamin. Vitamin K2, and I'm taking it again today. I'm taking K2 with my... I had a big bowl of Cheerios today. I never eat Cheerios for breakfast for many years. Today I thought, well, I can do that again. This is the first time since I was about, 40 years old or whatever, whenever, 50 years old. Whenever it was when I stopped eating Cheerios. Probably older than that even. But it's been a long time. It's been many years since I've even wanted to eat Cheerios for breakfast. It just wasn't... It wasn't on my radar at all. I didn't even think about it. But the thing is, after eating a big, huge bowl of Cheerios today, I can see why I didn't want to eat Cheerios. I mean, it's heavier food. It's much harder to process this granulated, flour that's made into something solid, but it's so concentrated. The food, it's such a concentrated food that I probably shouldn't be eating it. But the thing is, when you're really healthy, you can eat that stuff. And apparently I'm really healthy again compared to what I was. But I'll probably be finding other foods I can eat in addition to that. I'm heating up some onion soup right now, actually. But the amazing thing, the amazing, amazing, amazing thing about vitamin K2 is that it can reverse osteoporosis. And it can reverse arthritis. It has in my case, but it can reverse all health problems, possibly, because it's... there's no reason why it wouldn't, because it's... calcium is the main mineral in the body. All health problems, therefore, are linked to calcium. And therefore, the calcium facilitator vitamin easily could be the key to unlocking the cure to all of those diseases. It easily could be the cure, not unlock the cure. It could be the cure. It could be the cure, the fountain of youth. It could be all those things, but we could die some other way. It very obviously we could die of an infection or some other thing. There are a lot of things to be cautious about. We could die of some eating the wrong food because it had something in it that we're allergic to, and we die because we suffocate because our windpipe closes up or something. We could die of all sorts of possible things. We don't want to die. I don't, at least I don't. So we need to be cautious when we take these, any food even. Well, we're generally pretty cautious with our food. We know what we want, we know what we eat based on what we've eaten in the past, and we know what's poison and what's not poison, probably. So we know what not to eat in some cases, anyway, at least in some. I need to get some more of the MK4. Vitamin K2. Yeah, so I think I need to order some more of it, actually, if I can. Pretty soon. Let's see what I've got here. See if I can get Right. Yeah, I ordered it already, right? I've got some. The other thing about... Where did I put the K2? I'm trying to remember... there's something I'm trying to remember. It doesn't need to be... I think it doesn't need to be refrigerated. That's what I think. Because it's not... It doesn't say refrigerate after opening. So I think it doesn't need refrigeration, too. I think that's another thing. I keep it in the fridge myself, but I just want to be... It's a small bottle. You can keep it... Well, here it is. It's just... the Thorn Vitamin D K2 Liquid. The most, well, the newest vitamin in my vitamin regime. So I don't want to say too much about it because, you know, maybe it'll kill me or something and it'll make me look like a fool and nobody will listen to anything else that I said. So I want to be careful, but Thorn is the best laboratory in the world, possibly. I mean, they're really good. So that's one thing. But, you know, that doesn't mean every product that they make is the right one. But this vitamin, I believe, this particular form of vitamin K2, it has enormous potential, and it might be the fountain of youth. It really, literally might be. I was working the past couple of days, I believe, solely because of this. It gave me the energy and the health in a matter of just a few, maybe hours, but certainly within a couple of days of starting to take it. Within very few days after starting to take it, I suddenly have this ability to work again physically, which I didn't have. And I don't mean just the ability, the desire. I have the desire to do it. I had the ability to do it before, but I was completely lacking in energy, in the health and the vitality of the body. It supports healthy bones. That's the thing. And bones are absolutely crucial to, you know, curing everything in the body by making sure that you have enough calcium in the body stored in the bones and you're not weakening your bones in order to get calcium. So it's very important. And people underestimate the importance of it, completely underestimate. They think they can just eat any food that they want and they can be healthy, but it's not true. If you don't have your bone health and if you don't have your sufficient, if you don't have calcium, I mean, if you don't have your intake of calcium that's going to provide the bone health, sustaining the bones, because otherwise your bones are being lost every day. And it's just a matter of time before you will die based on bone loss. So, sounds harsh. This arrives after Christmas, if I order it now. Well, that's interesting, yeah. It's pretty interesting. I don't know. I guess I won't, maybe I won't need it, but maybe I will. The thing is, if you drink 3/4 of a bottle of this every day, that's enough to reverse osteoporosis, according to the Japan studies. There have been studies done in Japan for decades. They've been reversing osteoporosis using 450 drops of this, which is 45 milligrams, with there being about 100 micrograms in each drop of this, of the MK4 vitamin K2, which is also called it's just for reference, it's called, the technical name for vitamin K2 in the MK4 form is menatetranone. That's the technical name for it. It sounds like a horrible chemical, but it's the elixir of life is what it is. It's called menatetranone, which is an unfortunate name maybe for the elixir of life, but anyway, that's what it is. That's how it goes. Anyway, I'm convinced that this is the elixir of life, okay? Now, that means probably people will reject that idea. They'll reject what I'm saying just because I said that, just because I called it that. But, you know, the thing is, whether whoever it is who's listening may not, or who hears about this, may not be sick right now. You may not get sick in the near future. But at some point, you're going to need this substance. Whether you get it by manufacturing it in your own body, which you can get if you eat enough kale, and things like that. But most people, there's no way they can manufacture enough of it. Or whether you get it by taking a supplement like this. I'm just going to drop, that's 2, 3, 4. I might have missed one. I think I did 5, 6, 7, 8. Anyway, okay. I wasn't on the cam for the whole time because I had my own cam monitor, which was showing a different image. Anyway, okay. So the soup is hot. I'll just turn that soup down a little bit so it doesn't boil completely into nothing, but. Anyway, I want to sit here and talk all day long about this vitamin, but I guess there's other things to talk about. But maybe I'm just eating the vitamin first so I don't lose it. The thing is, maybe I should be talking about this vitamin all day long and not talking about anything else. And maybe I will at some point, but we also have a spiritual need, a need to learn about Jehovah, the principles of life, not just about healthy food and vitamins. It's important to realize that I used to be more or less opposed to the idea of vitamins because I didn't know what they did in the body and I was afraid that they could cause harm. So I stayed away from vitamins for a very long time, most of my life. So in the year about 2002, when that calcium factor book was published, that's the year when I learned about it, I think, somewhere around that time anyway. Maybe 2003, I learned about it. That was when I learned about calcium, not about vitamin K2. I think I said vitamin K2 2008. Something like that, or a little bit later, possibly than 2008. Yeah, this is the new pineapple. It's good. It's ripe. Today's psalm is very long. I want to get to work in the basement again, if I can, today. I really do, because the weather's still beautiful outside, but it's not going to hold up for forever. I mean, probably. I met that lady that was, she was a very, very nice lady that I met today who's having the problems with osteoporosis. So I hope she hears this, and I hope her doctor learns about vitamin K2 and what the benefits are. I can't enumerate them all because I think there's so many, but there is an expert in Canada called, her name, the expert's name is Kate Raome Blue, and she's in Ontario. She's a naturopathic doctor in Ontario, Canada, and she's the world's preeminent expert on vitamin K2 You can Google her and see her videos that she has out with Mercola. She did an interview, and she explains a lot about vitamin K2. And her experience in taking it when she was pregnant, for example. She took 3 times the recommended amount every day when she was pregnant, because there's no recommended real amount, because it's not got any known toxicity. It's a perfect substance, I guess. It has no toxicity. It's a perfect substance. It gives you complete health and complete life, longevity, health, happiness, essentially, in a bottle. And it doesn't have any toxicity, so you can take as much of it as you want. How much more perfect can anything be than that? How much more perfect can it get? I mean, come on. Seriously, that's the reality of this. And is that why doctors are saying not to take it? I heard that somebody was saying not to take it, not to take vitamin K. That's what I heard. Someone's doctor was saying not to take it. This is another person whom I've talked to on more than one occasion. And she has also a bone density issue. So this idea, but for a doctor to say don't take vitamin K, that to me is rather disturbing, to say the least. It's very disturbing, actually. Because I know vitamin K is the most powerful vitamin. And the most safe. It's the safest. It's probably not safe for some people. It's probably not safe. You have to be very careful with it. Very careful with anything that's that powerful. Just because it's not toxic doesn't mean you won't react to it. In some way, you could be very reactive to it. But the thing is, it's not, keep in mind, this vitamin is not in and of itself anything. It's nothing by itself. You need magnesium with it. I mean, sorry, calcium and magnesium, but you need calcium with it. You always need magnesium with calcium, but you need calcium with this vitamin K2, and you always need vitamin D, but vitamin D is utilized by vitamin K2, and therefore you can't build up vitamin D to a toxic level either, not as easily if you're taking K2. It makes vitamin D a lot safer by taking K2. It makes calcium, all of it is deadly. Calcium and vitamin D are deadly at some point. You'll have heart problems because you're taking calcium. And you'll have heart problems because you're taking vitamin D with calcium. That causes heart problems. That's a known fact. But it's not true when you're taking vitamin K2. That doesn't happen when you're taking vitamin K2, because vitamin K2 solves everything. It is the calcium vitamin. Try and get this straight. Vitamin K2 solves all the problems with calcium. And calcium is the key vitamin, mineral, rather. It's the mineral in the body. The main mineral. Calcium is associated with almost every process, probably with every process in the body. I shouldn't say just almost with every process. Calcium I can't definitively say that calcium is not involved in every process, because it might be. We just don't know everything. But we know calcium is involved in hundreds of processes in the body. That's enough to know. So that we have to be taking all the cofactors that make calcium work properly. And then we can take our dairy. And I wouldn't even take, if you can take dairy products, take those. Don't take a calcium supplement. Unless it's coral. Coral is a natural substance. You can take calcium in the form of coral. And marine coral is preferable because it has magnesium in larger quantities and has a lot of other minerals in it because it's marine coral. The coral that's been above the water on land has been subject to a lot of erosion from wind and rain, and it won't be as good in the mineral content. So marine coral is preferable, but coral calcium is another thing you can take if you can't take dairy. But if possible, take dairy to get your calcium, because it's natural. But we know people traditionally didn't take dairy after they got past the age of infancy. But why was that? I think it's clear now that the reason was because we didn't have vitamin K2 as a supplement back then. I mean, that's what might emerge. I'm not certain yet, but that might be proven to be the fact. That might be why people don't take dairy products, after their young age of maybe in their teens they stop, or maybe some people keep taking dairy all their lives, but that's good if they can. But we can't if we have problems, like I had problems because I got constipated in my teens, and I couldn't drink milk anymore because of that. It was so I would have been doing it, but I didn't know about magnesium at that time. In a way, it was a blessing, though, because if I'd been taking calcium all my life, I believe I'd be in much worse shape now, unless I had discovered vitamin K2 at that time, which was possible because it was discovered, I think, in the 20s or something like that. It was identified as vitamin K2 in the 20s, but it's been known about. Weston Price, the dentist, discovered the thing that we now think was vitamin K2, but it was called Activator X by him. Activator X was the thing that makes people's teeth, it makes their teeth straight, because it makes children, it makes the jaws big enough so that the teeth can fit in and there's no crowding in the teeth. Prevents crowding of teeth. Activator X was the thing he called it, but it was something that he knew was present in something. He believed it was present in the grass-fed dairy products that people were eating, and grass-fed meats and things like that, from the animals that ate grass. That was why this phenomenon of straight teeth occurred. It occurred in cultures where they had access to grass-fed meat and dairy. So that's the source of vitamin K2, is grass-fed meat and dairy. So if you can get grass-fed meat and dairy, do that as well. But you still probably aren't going to get enough of it. It really seems probable that the thing is that we need the most is vitamin K2 in our diet more than anything else. That's why it's non-toxic. As far as we know, completely non-toxic, as far as we know. We just don't know any toxicity. We don't know any toxicity for vitamin K2. But think about what that means for a moment. Pure water has a known toxicity. You can't drink more than 5 liters of it in a few, hours or whatever, without dying, literally dying from toxicity of water. Water is actually toxic to the body. We don't think of it that way, but that's the truth. Even though it's also good to hydrate, it's toxic. So this vitamin K2 is not toxic to any degree at all that we know of. Just contemplate the incredible absurdity of that. If that's not meant to be the food that we eat, then what is? But contemplate the absurdity of that. There's nothing that's not toxic, generally. Now, vitamin C is pretty non-toxic too, by the way. But not for people who are allergic to it, apparently, because I just met a woman who's allergic to ascorbic acid. But I really believe that all these problems, like allergies and autoimmune disease and all of those things that I've had anyway, we all haven't had them, but probably all of us have had varying levels of autoimmune disease. We've all had that. And by the way, my eczema went away. It's gone. This, at least not from up here, but this eczema disappeared suddenly in the past couple of days. So that's another thing that maybe the K2 is doing that also. But we've all had autoimmune disease, and I think eczema is maybe a form of autoimmune disease, or possibly. Or maybe it's just dead skin that is on the surface and it's being attacked by bacteria or something. I'm not sure what eczema is. But, well, autoimmune disease and all of these allergies and things, I think they could be highly, highly probably connected to calcium. Because my allergies have gone away too. This year I had no allergies, virtually none. I blow my nose a couple of times. That's it. My allergies are gone this year. And this is the year I really bumped up the K2 in the MK7 form. But then I learned just a couple of days ago I started taking the MK4. So it's just a few days. And my energy levels, you know, through the roof, apparently. But it's not just energy. It's you know, the actual ability to exert my body, you know, without feeling that I'm harming myself. So it's a health level. The overall health, my overall health level has gone up in the past couple of days just from taking the MK4, I believe. That's the only thing I'm doing differently. But I'm still taking the MK7. I'm taking the MK4. I'm taking my matcha tea. I'm starting to eat Cheerios now, which is new. But I'm not going to eat them probably all the time. But it's a way to satisfy my hunger in such a way that I don't have to eat all the time. You know, I won't be hungry all the time. When I'm doing a lot of physical activity, I'm going to need a more sustained source of protein, a more sustainable source. You know, that I can eat and then go and work and not have to eat again, and I won't feel hungry, or something like that. But I mean, it's okay to be hungry when it's dinner time, you know, that's fine. But I mean, I don't want to be, I haven't been ever hungry when I was working. I've never been hungry when I'm working. And the body will burn fat when you're working anyway. So, but I like to do my work in the morning before I've eaten, because right now I'm getting lethargic physically. I don't want to go work, but I think I will today. I really do. So, I mean, I'm very excited. I can't stop talking about it. It's vitamin K2. I can't stop talking about it. Menotetranone in the MK4 form. It's called menotetranone, and it's known to reverse osteoporosis, and that is something. Now, you know, the lady I was talking to today mentioned that she couldn't afford any more medication, because she's already taking a lot of medication, apparently, or she's taking something that's probably expensive. I don't know what it is exactly, but she's taken something for her osteoporosis, and she's apparently had some good result with it too. So it's going to be a difficult choice to make, perhaps, to take to stop taking that medication. But of course, vitamin K2 is a vitamin. It's essential to the body, so it's not like you can't take it as part of your diet. So if you take it and then it makes you better and you don't have to take your medication anymore, it might be worth taking, you know, paying $20 a day to get your osteoporosis reversed. It might be worth it if you could afford it. $600 a month, though, is a lot of money for anybody, I think, or for a lot of us. And I'm not sure But I know if I could afford it, if I needed it, I think I would be very willing to pay that much to reverse if I had osteoporosis. My wife had that too. She had osteoporosis, but we didn't know what to believe at that point, but we also couldn't get this MK4 in the concentrated form. We couldn't legally import that at that time. I'm not sure what form we were looking at that time, whether it was the same one that I'm getting now or whether it was something else, but we couldn't import that, even though it was available. It wasn't legal to be imported at that time, so we didn't do anything about it. But, I mean, I don't know why we didn't. Now I'm starting to wonder whether we should have tried to find a way to do it, to find a way to get it, because she might still be with us, because it's such a powerful vitamin. I mean, it's just frightening to think that there might be a law that prevents you from getting a substance that's natural, that your body needs, and that saves your life, and yet you can't buy it legally. That's frightening to me. It's Isaiah 48 is the one I was looking at here to see how long it is. Look at this. There's no peace, Jehovah has said, for the wicked ones. That's a very memorable scripture, verse 22. Well, I don't know how much energy I'm going to have, today with reading the scriptures. Generally, you get energy back from doing it, so I hope we do. But you got 57 scriptures, verses to read here to do this study. We've got time to do it, I think. To the director of David, a melody, a song. Jehovah God, our heaven, our heavenly Father, the God of love, help us to be more than we can possibly be by ourselves alone. Help us to become more than we currently are. Help us to grow in love through your word and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who intensely hate him flee because of him. As smoke is driven away, may you drive them away. As wax melts because of the fire, let the wicked ones perish from before God. But as for the righteous, let them rejoice. Let them be elated before God, and let them exult with rejoicing. Sing you to God, make melody to his name. Raise up a song to the one riding through the desert plains as Jah, which is his name, and jubilate before him. A father of fatherless boys and a judge of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God is causing the solitary ones to dwell in a house. He is bringing forth prisoners into full prosperity. However, as for the stubborn, they have to reside in a scorched land. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the desert, Selah, the earth itself rocked. Heaven itself also dripped because of God. This Sinai rocked because of God, the God of Israel. A copious downpour you began causing to fall, O God. Your inheritance, even when it was weary, you yourself reinvigorated it. Your tent community, they have dwelt in it. With your goodness, you proceeded to make it ready for the afflicted one, O God. Jehovah himself gives the saying, the women telling the good news are a large army. Even the kings of armies flee, they flee. As for her who abides at home, she shares in the spoil. Although you men kept lying between the camp ash heaps, there will be the wings of a dove covered with silver and its pinions with yellowish green gold. When the Almighty One scattered abroad the kings in it, it began to snow in Zalmon. The mountainous region of Bashan is a mountain of God. The mountainous region of Bashan is a mountain of peaks. Why do you, O you mountains of peaks, keep watching enviously the mountain that God has desired for himself to dwell in? Even Jehovah himself will reside there forever. The war chariots of God are in tens of thousands, thousands over and over again. Jehovah himself has come from Sinai into the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have carried away captives. You have taken gifts in the form of men. Yes, even the stubborn ones to reside among them, O Jah God. Blessed be Jehovah who daily carries the load for us, the true God of our salvation, Selah. The true God is for us a God of saving acts, and to Jehovah the sovereign Lord belong the ways out from death. Indeed, God himself will break the head of his enemies in pieces, the hairy crown of the head of anyone walking about in his guiltiness. Jehovah has said, from Bashan I shall bring back. I shall bring them back from the depths of the sea. In order that you may wash your foot in blood, that the tongue of your dogs may have its portion from the enemies. They have seen your processions, O God, the processions of my God, my King, into the holy place. The singers went in front, the players on stringed instruments after them. In between were the maidens beating tambourines. In congregated throngs, bless God, O Jehovah, O you who are from the source of Israel. There is little Benjamin subduing them, the princes of Judah with their shouting crowd, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Your God has laid command upon your strength. Do show strength, O God, you who have acted for us, because of your temple at Jerusalem. Kings will bring gifts to you yourself. Rebuke the wild beast of the reeds, the assembly of bulls, with the calves of the peoples, each one stamping down on pieces of silver. He has scattered the peoples that take delight in fights. Bronzeware things will come out of Egypt. Cush itself will quickly stretch out its hands with gifts to God. O you kingdoms of the earth, sing to God. Make melody to Jehovah, Selah. To the one riding on the ancient heaven of heavens, lo, he sounds with his voice, a strong voice, ascribes strength to God. Over Israel his eminence is, and his strength is in the clouds. God is fear-inspiring out of your grand sanctuary. The God of Israel he is, giving strength, even might to the people. Blessed be God. That's Psalm 68. There are some very interesting things here. I wanted to note verse 9. Something happened there. Reinvigorate. I was trying to think of a word today. I felt like vitamin K2 had done something for me, and I couldn't think of this word, reinvigorate. That's what it's done for me. Vitamin K2 in the MK form, the liquid vitamin K2, has reinvigorated me. That's the exact word I was looking for today, and I was talking to someone, and I said, I can't think of the word, and here it is. So Jehovah provides even the very words that my mouth fails to find on the same day when I'm looking for them. He provides them for me. That's what he does for me. But, of course, in my subconscious, I probably knew that was in this chapter, just like subconsciously I knew that the expression, the congregated throngs, was in here too. In congregated throngs, bless God. Jehovah, O you who are from the source of Israel, verse 26. And that's the second thing that I noticed. That was actually the first thing I noticed, because I hadn't yet discovered the reinvigorated until I was reading it. But the other thing is, the women telling the good news are a large army. 68 and 14, is it? Where is it? 11. The women telling the good news are a large army. 68 and 11. That one is a scripture that is one of the very, very important scriptures for women in the Bible. It explains that women do have a large part to play in the publishing of salvation, the news of salvation and the good news. The publishing of Jehovah's word, you know, the good news about Jesus, that's what the good news is. But in David's time, David did not know about Jesus, except prophetically. He didn't know about him. He didn't. There was no good news at that time, not in the sense that there is now. Oh, there's so many nice things here. I can't even discuss them all. There's too many. There are too many. And I'm glad there's too many, because that means we can just sort of enjoy them and take pleasure in savoring them for discussion later on. And then the other scripture that's of great note here that is quoted by the Watchtower Society many times: you have ascended on high, you have carried away captives, you have taken gifts in the form of men. That is such an inspiring scripture. And it also prophetically refers to Christ ascending on high and then, you know, pouring out the Holy Spirit upon those whom he had taken captive as his disciples. Captive in that sense, they were his followers, and he gave them gifts too in the form of Holy Spirit, but they were gifts themselves in the many talents and abilities that those men had. And then Jehovah's name is Jah. It's not just Jehovah, it's Jah also. And he's a God of justice. That's the only reason he promises to break the head of his enemies in pieces. Because God's enemies are people who are deserving of death. That's the thing. But the other thing is, look, in verse 20, the most amazing thing, even though it's not the first thing that I discovered here at all, this is where I was talking about the vitamin K2. Look, to Jehovah belong the ways out from death. To Jehovah belong the ways out from death. So all of these possible nutritional ideas that can save us by, you know, giving us our health, but maybe they can even prolong our life. That's the amazing thing, that it is possible to escape death. And it says that right there, because Jehovah is the owner of those ways out from death. He's the one who can give us those ways. He can share those ways with us, teach us those ways out from death to escape from death. That's powerful. But it means something even if you don't think about nutrition. It means something in terms of he can save us from our enemies. Can show us the way to avoid death at the hands of our enemies too. It means that as well. His strength is in the clouds, verse 34. I just can't mention them all. There's so many good things in that. I love it. I love the mention of Egypt and Cush, because that's Ethiopia. And we know that the Ethiopian kings was part of the way in which we discovered the true chronology was using the source, the Ethiopian kings, which agrees completely with the chronology of Solomon, that the genealogy presents with Solomon's year 1 in 1017. And Menelik, the king of Ethiopia, dated, I don't remember the exact year when his kingship is given in the Ethiopian king list, but it doesn't matter, because, I mean, it's not precise necessarily. The Ethiopian king list is not necessarily a perfect list, but I think it's 975, I remember now. I think it's 975 for Menelik, but we should keep in mind that it's not a completely accurate, or it's not an inspired list. And neither is any of our evidence inspired, but the Bible is. The Bible is inspired. And that's evidence too. So actually part of our evidence is definitely inspired, and that's the Bible. I have to take back that part where I said that not any of our evidence is inspired. And it's the same reason why we know that Jerusalem was destroyed in 587 BCE. It's because of the Bible. The 70 years talked about in the Bible are clearly the 70 years when Babylon would be dominating the nations. It has nothing to do with Israel's being captive for 70 years. It's not about that. The 70 years is about the Babylonish domination for 70 years. And that's obtained from Scripture. So it's not dependent on other evidence. The other evidence is there as well to back it up. But the Bible doesn't depend on outside sources like that. So Menelik on the Ethiopian king list, he's not in the Bible, but he's at the right time to have been the son of Solomon by the wife of Solomon, the Queen of Sheba. Anyway, so God of Israel is giving strength, but I mean the Bible doesn't say that Solomon had a son by means of the Queen of Sheba, but it's the dating of Menelik is consistent with that idea. Using the Ethiopian king list, which is it's a marvelous thing, and using that list, I believe it's the same list. Which king list is it? Oh, there's such a great list, which even shows us the dates of King Takealot of Egypt and Takealot the First and Takealot the Second. Let's look it up. Gotta find this. Gotta find it in my own article. Okay. Will of Jehovah. S-I-T-E. It needs a colon. Colon in between. Site and Will of Jehovah. Space. Menelik. Oh, there it is. No, he's dated 968. But you know what? With 968, we had to correct it by 7 years to 975 because the Ethiopian list does not use the same dating system that we use. So the 975 was what we obtained, I believe, later on. This is an early article, Moses. Later on, 975, there it is, in the article Green. Oh, no, wait a minute. Okay, so 960. Okay, no, I'm wrong. Correction again. The 7 years was the other way around. 7 years is the 968 is the correct dating, apparently, because that's the later article. This is an early article, Green, in which I say 975. But then true, wait a minute. Then in the article true, I mentioned 975 again. Okay. So rather than going back and forth, it doesn't really matter because it's close enough. You know, a 7 year difference is not going to make a huge difference anyway. And it 975. Right. The number 975 occurs in the article True. It's in that article called True that I wrote. And 968 occurs once, twice. Okay. So it doesn't occur in the context in which I'm looking for it there. Let's go back. I'll look up Takealot. Ethiopian. King list. I think Takealot is... Okay. No. There it is. Yes. Okay. That's it. I found it. It's in B4 chronology. Which part is this? Is this the main full article? It's the full version. Okay. So this is the one that it may be lacking some pictures, but it's got the same text as the parts, the different parts. Okay. So let's look up, Takealot. And we look up Takealot and we see here he is. So in this case, the picture, yeah, I at this time when I was writing these articles, I was It's not designed, apparently. It doesn't work as well on a narrow screen as it does on a wider screen. So later on, I adopted a new method of doing illustrations on separate lines from the text so that they don't overlap on these narrow widths of screen. But Takealot is called Degmawi Tawasia II. And interestingly, he's given a dating there. So it's amazing because it's the only form of list that I've seen, virtually the only one, listing the Egyptian kings in order. And the reason why we know that they are who they say, who I'm saying they are, or who we say they are, is that they're given the same number of years as the kings called Takealot in Egypt. So Tawasia, there was a Tawasia, and then there's Dagmawi Oseyo-Sira. That's Osorkon. And the reason why is because, again, he corresponds in the order of the list. You know, he corresponds. Like, let's look at the list if we can find it. Where's the list? I think I stopped giving references in this article because the links kept being broken, so I stopped that. But the Ethiopian king list. So let's open that in a separate tab. Where's the Ethiopian king list? It's really quite remarkable what we can learn from chronology. Ethiopian king list. There it is. I think this is the article right here. I published this also, but it came from another website. It's the Lineage of Ethiopian Kings and Queens. And you should be able to find it on my website using site colon and then willofjehovah.com. But if we look at the name of these kings and we go down far enough, we get to the time period. There's Menelik. Zira the Ethiopian, he's called. And he's the one in the Bible. But he's also the one whom I identify as Osorkon. Not sure if he's Osorkon the first or the second. But I mean, I am sure in my articles I mention it. It's just I'm not sure now. Saying it by memory, I'm not 100% sure which one it is. And Amenhotep Zegdur. I talk about that too. Yeah, I explained that Zegdur can be the word sector. Sector can mean that he had operations in different parts of the world at different times. And this is during the time of the Trojan War too, which is 888 BCE in the genealogy. So this is right at that time. Or close to it. I think we have to shift these dates because if we look at the time of Christ, if we go down far enough, if we go down to the time of Christ, can we get down there? Wait a minute. Well, maybe it says something at the beginning of this file. Yeah, it says by comparison, 7 or 8 years behind ours. The year which the Abyssinians regard as one, it's for us 8 AD. So we have to go, our dating is later. So if they call it 975 for Menelik, then it's really 968. They said 892. Zegdur. Amenhotep Zegdur, we have to go 7 or 8 years later, so we'd be down to 885, which is the Trojan War in the genealogy. From 888 to 880 is the Trojan War, or to 881 is the Trojan War. No, sorry, that's not right. Wait a minute. No. 898 to 888. I think the Trojan War, it ended in 888, I think. Yeah, that's right, because there were 7 years when Aeneas wandered the seven seas, or he wandered for 7 years, and then he came to Dido, and that date at Carthage, we dated to 881, the founding of Carthage, a pivotal date in history. So that was 7 years after 888. So the Trojan War ended in 888. It started in 898. So therefore, this dating here, 923 to 892, even if we go down as low as he ruled until after the Trojan War, if it goes down to 885, 7 years later, as the ending date here, 885 would be just after the Trojan War in our chronology, the genealogy. So the genealogy is incredibly blessed by this, and this was discovered after the genealogy was found. It wasn't at the same time at all. There's no way that this could happen by coincidence. But this is a great, very great king, Amenhotep Zagdur, 31 years. So now, if I look at my own, this is a great thing to put on, open in a new tab, but let's look up Zagdur. I'm pretty sure it's the same article, Babylon, on my website, right? Look, it was mentioned here. He succeeded by Aksumiramisu. So he's Amenhotep. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I talk about it in Wild Road to History. That's right. That's another article, and I mention it there. And this is the full article again. That it doesn't have the illustrations, because it was broken into parts later, but there's nothing bad about the text. The articles are lacking some illustrations. If it's the older version of the article, that's all. It's just the text is the same though. Except I guess there could have been a very slight edit or change made later, but it's the old version of the article that was complete at the time. It was finished and then broken into parts. But here, look at Troy ends in 888, that war of Troy, right? Or that was the end of Troy. It was destroyed, 888. But, I mean, if we look up Zagdur, just ignore the missing photos. He's Shoshank II, is that right? That was one identification of him that I gave. Shoshank II, who was a very unknown king because he didn't rule in Egypt for very long. He went over. There was a king who went over to Persia and ruled over in some other part of the world, to the east of Egypt anyway, over in that area, in the vicinity of, I'm not sure if it was as far east as Persia, but somewhere over that direction. And we talked about it here. It's in the article here. So if you're interested in history at all, you can feel free to read this article as well as all the others. This Wild Road to History, which is also one of my articles, and it's bringing back a lot of memories to my mind right now, a lot of exciting historical possibilities, and many of which are proving to be true more and more as time goes on. It's very, very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Sorgon II. That's the article, Redressing Unhistorical Nobility. That's the chapter of that article. So anyway, let's come back. We're running out of time here. That's a fascinating thing. I want to read that again now. We're not going to have time to do Isaiah. Well, yes, we will. Just barely. Jehovah knows the timetable better than I do. Let's continue, little children. Hear this, O house of Jacob, you who are calling yourselves by the name of Israel and who have come forth from the very waters of Judah. you who are swearing by the name of Jehovah and who make mention even of the God of Israel, not in truth and not in righteousness? For they have called themselves as being from the holy city, and upon the God of Israel they have supported themselves, Jehovah of armies being his name. The first things I have told even from that time, and out of my own mouth they went forth, and I kept making them heard. Suddenly I acted, and the things proceeded to come in, due to my knowing that you are hard, and that your neck is an iron sinew, and your forehead is copper. I also kept telling you from that time. Before it could come in, I caused you to hear it, that you might not say, my own idol has done them, and my own carved image, and my own molten image have commanded them. You have heard, behold it all. As for you people, will you not tell it? I have made you hear new things from the present time, even things kept in reserve, that you have not known. At the present time they must be created, and not from that time, even things that before today you have not heard, that you may not say, look, I have already known them. Moreover, you have not heard, neither have you known, nor from that time on has your ear been opened, for I well know that without fail you kept dealing treacherously, and a transgressor from the belly you have been called. For the sake of my name I shall check my anger, and for my praise I shall restrain myself toward you, that there may be no cutting you off. Look, I have refined you, but not in the form of silver. I have made choice of you in the smelting furnace of affliction. For my own sake I shall act, for how could one let oneself be profaned? And to no one else shall I give my own glory. Listen to me, O Jacob, and you Israel, my called one. I am the same one. I am the first. Moreover, I am the last. Moreover, my own hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my own right hand extended out the heavens. I am calling to them, that they may keep standing together. Be collected together, all you people, and hear. Who among them has told these things? Jehovah himself has loved him. He will do what is his delight upon Babylon, and his own arm will be upon the Chaldeans. I myself have spoken. Moreover, I have called him. I have brought him in. And there will be a making of his way successful. Come near to me, you people. Hear this. From the start, I have spoken in no place of concealment at all. From the time of its occurring, I have been there. And now the sovereign Lord Jehovah himself has sent me, even his spirit. This is what Jehovah has said, your repurchaser, the Holy One of Israel. I, Jehovah, am your God, the one teaching you to benefit yourself, the one causing you to tread in the way in which you should walk. Oh, if only you would actually pay attention to my commandments, then your peace would become just like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. And your offspring would become just like the sand, and the descendants from your inward parts like the grains of it. One's name would not be cut off or be annihilated from before me. Go forth, you people, out of Babylon. Run away from the Chaldeans. Tell forth, even with the sound of a joyful cry. Cause this to be heard. Make it go forth to the extremity of the earth. Say, Jehovah has repurchased his servant Jacob. And they did not get thirsty when he was making them walk even through devastated places. Water out of the rock he caused to flow forth for them. And he proceeded to split a rock that the water might stream forth. There is no peace, Jehovah has said, for the wicked ones. Isaiah chapter 48. A privilege to read that. I'm very, very happy. I've got a bit of a lump in my stomach because of all the Cheerios I ate. I ate too much, probably, of that particular thing. For the first, was it my first meal for the day? I'm trying to think. It was my first meal. I went shopping before I ate, I think. I did have a glass of carbonated water. That was all I had before I went shopping. When I got back, I was hungry, so I decided. And I also, but no, I didn't just have the Cheerios. I then had a bowl of yogurt that I just ate with the pineapples. very, very good pineapples, but it's just I have a big lump in my stomach now from all the food I've eaten, so I've got to slow down my eating right now. I'm going to get some water, fizzy water. But we're just about at the end of our study now. I need water right now. I can feel it. I need the fizzy water. So that was amazing, because that shows again how Jehovah kept reiterating that Babylon would be favored by him, which also it emphasizes that it's a prophecy, because he had to keep repeating it. If it had already taken place, if Babylon had already saved Israel at the time this was written, he wouldn't have had to keep repeating this. It would have just been a remark made in passing. Oh, Babylon, yes. You know, it wouldn't have been something he kept reiterating over and over. He kept reiterating. You know, as you may recall, he kept saying, I've even called you by your name, Cyrus. You know, the man who is going to conquer the Babylonians, that's who that was. In Isaiah 44, at the end of that chapter, we read that. Right, they will be rebuilt, talking about the cities of Judah, because of Cyrus freeing Israel from Babylon. But it doesn't say there, it doesn't mention Babylon in that chapter, so we go to the next one. 45, what does it say? It talks about the two-leaved doors being not shut, and so we know when he conquered Babylon, Cyrus found the doors open because they hadn't shut them. So he didn't even... It doesn't sound like anything like an event that's happened already. It sounds like a prophecy. Because he said, I even called you by your name. Like, how could he... I mean, if he knew who he was already, he wouldn't have to mention that he even called him by his name. But because it's a prophecy, he has to mention, he wants to stress this point. I even called you by your name. Even though you weren't even born yet, I called you by your name. He had to stress that point. In verse 4 of 45, I even proceeded to call you by your name. He stresses that point because that's what's so miraculous about the prophecy. He called Cyrus by his name before he was even born. And then in verse 48, which we just read today, he mentions Babylon. He will do what is his delight upon Babylon. In other words, he's going to free the Israelites from Babylon, but it's a prophecy. He had already mentioned Cyrus, so now he mentions Babylon. So the prophecy is talking about the things that are going to occur in very prophetic language. That's the beauty of the whole book of Isaiah. That's the power and the beauty of it, is it's very poetic too. The language is poetic. It's so beautiful. Your peace would become just like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea, if you would only pay attention to my commandments. Okay, I better wrap this up. This is just wonderful. That was verse 18. Go forth, you people, out of Babylon, the prophecy of their being freed from Babylon by Cyrus. But, of course, Cyrus was part of the book of Isaiah. In the chapters just prior, a few chapters prior, Cyrus was featured there. But because it hasn't happened yet, it's a prophecy. It's not all in its entirety. It's a prophecy. It's not given as a history. It hasn't happened yet. You can tell by the way it's written. It's not being given in its detail. It's not written as history, it's written as prophecy, because it is prophecy. But yet it foresees the fact that they would be captive in Babylon and be freed. Both those things, plus it foresees Cyrus as the one freeing them and allowing them to rebuild the cities of Israel. So it's unbelievably foresightful, I suppose we could call it. It's got foresight, prophecy. There's no peace, Jehovah has said, for the wicked ones. This is Ward Green. It is December 8th, 2022. The time is 1712 hours, soon to be 1713 hours. And I hope you've enjoyed the study, little children, today. I hope you will continue if you so desire. And God bless you. Have a wonderful day or morning or midday, evening, whatever time it is. I love you also very much. And, oh my goodness, praise Jehovah. That's the only other thing I can think of to say. And bye for now.